All right. Hello, everyone. Very, very happy Sunday evening. I see Dove saying that John Mark Hammer will follow me, at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock here in the mountains. I don't know if I have any exciting stories to tell. Today was just a goofing off day. We went and got the car washed and vacuumed, and we armor-alled the car. And we went to eat downtown at the Gold Rush Saloon. How was the dance? Jasmine had a good time at the dance. Yeah, we picked her up at 11 last night. She had a good time. We went shopping today. And I bought an outdoor kind of fire pit thing so we can roast hot dogs and make s'mores in the backyard. And if you're on Facebook, you may have seen Danielle bought a giant white tiger. So that's kind of what we did today. So it was a nice day, kind of relaxing. I didn't get the lawn mowed, which I thought I would, but maybe I will after this teaching. It'll still be daylight. I think I need to mow the lawn, and then that'll probably be the last mowing of the season. So we're heading into a very definite fall here. Why don't we just start by taking a few moments of silence, and then we'll begin looking at the seven steps to awakening. How's that sound? Amen. All right, so we are here, as I mentioned, for the seven steps to awakening. We're going to begin tonight with quote number 349. So let me give a link to those of you who are in the room. You can click on that link if you want to read along. If someone is listening on the radio, the address is RDA. Seven, that is the digit seven, it is not spelled out, rda7stepsjournal.wordpress.com. And when you get to that website, you'll see the menu bar at the top. We're working with step two, so you'll click on step two. And then find your way to the numbering sequence that will allow you to find your way to number 349, because we're beginning with number 349. And what I'm going to be doing is just reading first the quote from the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening. This is the quote that I contemplated. And then we will read from my journal, which is the link I gave you. And that is what I wrote after contemplation. The quotes that we are reading now, let's see who we're into here. We're into the Supreme Yoga. That's what's being quoted. The Supreme Yoga is actually another book. So we're reading from The Seven Steps to Awakening, which is quoting another book called The Supreme Yoga. And this is quote number 349. When we inquire into the nature of the mind, all the created objects or all appearances are seen to be its creations. Only the infinite consciousness remains as uncreated by the mind. And of course, the mind here would be synonymous with the word ego, right? When we inquire into the nature of the mind, all the created objects or all appearances are seen to be its creations. Only the infinite consciousness remains as uncreated by the mind. So why don't we look at number 349 in the journal then? And this is what was written. What can be defined, understood, or experienced by mind? Can the object seen be defined, understood, or experienced by mind? Can the sound heard be defined, understood, or experienced by mind? Can the thought that is thought be defined, understood, or experienced by mind? Can the person self be defined, understood, or experienced by mind? What is present that cannot be defined, understood, or experienced by mind? That which can be defined, understood, or experienced by mind is of mind, or the same as mind. That which cannot be defined, understood, or experienced by mind is before mind. That which is before mind can be called source or truth, and it is present being. Actually, I'm kind of being reminded of something that was written in NTI. Let me see if I can find it quickly. I think it was probably in 2 Corinthians. Yeah, I just opened right to it. So it was, you could call it one of those accident things, but that means I was supposed to find it, I guess. It's NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's on page 323. And this was long before, you know, I had even heard of Ramana Maharshi, or long before Inner Ramana, or long before any crossover occurred into, you know, what we would call Advaita. You know, this is when I'd been studying the course by now by about a year and a half, and I'm halfway through receiving NTI. But this is the first time inquiry showed up for me. It's right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verses 7 to 10. This is what Holy Spirit said. Let's start with you, which you know is within, and let's ask this question. Now remember, of course, that NTI is really talking very directly to me, exactly in the way that I perceived myself at the time that NTI was being received. And so the way that I really perceived myself was a person. But when this says, let's start with you, which you know is within, what that really means is I kind of perceived my, you could say my skin, as some kind of a boundary line. And everything outside of my skin was not me. Everything inside of my skin was me. Right? So my clothes would be not me, because they're outside of my skin. But well, we'll look within in just a moment. But everything within the skin, inside of the skin, would count as me. And so when it says, let's start with you, which you know is within, that's what it's referring to, my perception at the time that NTI was received. Let's start with you, which you know is within, and let's ask this question. What are you? Or from my perspective, the question would be, what am I? Right? I'm asking this question, what am I? Holy Spirit says, do not be tempted to define yourself by what seems without. In other words, don't say I am a woman, because that's a world definition. Don't say I am a mother, because that's a world definition. Let's just pretend like the world does not exist. There is no one else, right? And if you take away all those definitions that come in comparison to something in the world and just drop all of those, you know, let's then ask, what are you, or what am I? So do not be tempted to define yourself by what seems without. Let's stay focused within. If you forget the world and everything that you perceive as not within, and then you look deeply within and ask the question I have asked, what are you? What answer comes immediately to your mind? And at this time, the thought that came immediately to my mind was, I am my thoughts. That's really what I am. I am the content of my thoughts. Holy Spirit says, I am my thoughts, you know, in quotes, reading, of course, my mind. That may be your answer, is it not? When you look within, where you know you are, and you ask the question, what am I? You find that you are your thoughts, meaning that's what I believed, right? He's not saying that's the truth, but that was my answer to the question. And so Spirit wants to move me beyond that. And so Spirit continues the inquiry from there and says, what are your thoughts? Where do they come from? If you are your thoughts and you know and you want to know the origin of you, don't you also need to know the origin of your thoughts? So let's look within, deeply and peacefully, and without a sense of hurry. Let's ask, what are my thoughts? What is their origin? And if you ever read any of Ramana Maharshi's teachings, where he's really teaching self-inquiry, this is a very familiar question, you know, that comes from his teaching as well. He would ask you to find the I thought, right? And this isn't mentioning the I thought, but he would ask you to find that I thought. And then he would ask you to seek for where does the I thought come from, right? Where does the I thought come from? So this is asking the same question. Okay, you think you are your thoughts, or we could say you think you are the I thought if we were listening to Ramana Maharshi's teachings. Now, where does that come from, right? So what are my thoughts? What is their origin? That's the question, NTI. And then the answer you may hear is, which is the answer that I did hear as the scribe doing this live, the answer you may hear is, my mind is their origin. So that's the answer that came up for me. Where do my thoughts come from? My mind. Now that's pretty interesting because mind is actually, in this case, this is actually something formless. You know, it wasn't my brain, it was my mind. My thoughts come from my mind. And so Spirit says, well, then ask, what is my mind? And at this point, when NTI was being received, what actually began to happen within me was I actually began to panic. I began to panic. And the reason I began to panic is somehow I saw that the answer to the question, what is my mind, what really is that? That the answer that I came up with, the only thing that could be the source of that, or the only thing that could be before that, was what I would call God. And this actually scared me at this point, because somehow Spirit was taking me back to before mind, and taking me back to something in me that realized what I really was that before mind. I wasn't the mind. I wasn't the thoughts. I wasn't the body in the world. I was this which is before. And for a moment, I could see it clear enough. But I wasn't ready to accept it, and so I panicked. And so what happens kind of in NTI at this point, it really isn't super clear. And the reason it isn't super clear is because of the panic that I was actually experiencing. It goes on to say, the answer to that is God. For only God can be capital M mind, which means before mind, which is the origin of thoughts, right? But then, you know, to be honest, the inquiry isn't super clear at this point. It actually starts to fall apart here. This is the one part of NTI where I really feel like my ego got involved and Spirit wasn't able to take me where Spirit wanted to take me. So I kind of feel like, starting with about sentence 11 on page 324 through the rest of that page, this is probably, in my opinion, the poorest scribing in all of NTI. Because I was afraid, really afraid, to see that what I am is actually before mind. But if we look at what's happening now in this Seven Steps work is that we're right back to that self-inquiry again. And what's happening now is that enough willingness or readiness has occurred that there isn't fear when this inner inquiry is pointing out that what I am is before mind. When this inner inquiry is pointing out that somehow mind is just a fabrication and everything after mind is just a fabrication. And the only thing that is real is before mind. There's no longer a panic there. In fact, there's an intuitive knowingness that this is true. And I make an assumption that this intuitive knowingness, at least in my case, is a predecessor to full realization that it's true. So what's happening here in number 349 is just that. What's happening here in number 349 is a self-inquiry, similar to the self-inquiry in NTI 2 Corinthians. And it starts off by asking, what can be defined, understood, or experienced by mind? If you ask that question, the real answer is anything that comes after mind. Mind can define, understand, or experience anything that comes after it. And so we start looking then more specifically. Can the object seen be defined, understood, or experienced by mind? Well, what I have right here in front of me is a magnifying glass. I use this big, heavy magnifying glass to kind of hold open my book while I'm teaching. But yeah, mind does have a definition and an understanding and experience of this magnifying glass. I understand that the what I would call its primary purpose is to make small things larger so they're easier to see. But I also understand that I have applied another purpose because it's heavy. I can use it to hold open a book, right? You know, when I look through it, I do see, you know, like the letters on this page are bigger so I can experience it, right? So this magnifying glass and really everything of form is after mind, because mind can define it, mind can understand it, mind can experience it. Can the sound heard be defined, understood, or experienced by mind? Well, my dog Jamie just kind of shook all over, and when she shook all over, I heard this noise which comes from her dog tags on her collar kind of shaking. Sure, mind has an understanding of that. Mind says that's a dog shaking. I hear it. I hear the collar shaking. So again, that's after mind. Now, all of these things were actually the without. But let's go inside the skin. Let's go inside the skin and let's look at thoughts. Can thoughts be defined, understood, or experienced by mind? Absolutely. In fact, I can look at a thought and I can call it a happy thought, a sad thought. I can even call it, based on what I've learned, discernment from Holy Spirit, a true fault or a false thought. That's still mind understanding. So all thoughts, even though they're inside the skin, all thoughts come after mind. What about the person, Regina? Well, yeah, I have an understanding of what Regina is, of who Regina is, of things that she's always liked, things that she has always kind of not been crazy about. I've always enjoyed being outside on sunny days. That's been consistent in my entire lifetime. That's a consistent personality trait of Regina's. I've never really enjoyed participating in competitive sports. Tennis, you know, baseball, anything like that. That's been a pretty consistent trait of Regina's. And this is something the mind can understand, you know. So all of Regina, what Regina seems to be, is still after mind. And that's actually a profound thought if you're able to look at that with what we call Holy Spirit, with the right mind. Because the ego would like to think that the mind is within Regina. You know, you have Regina, and then within Regina there's this individual mind. But actually, by going through this questioning, by understanding that mind can only understand and define and experience what comes after it, we're actually seeing that mind precedes the personality. The personality is after mind, which is why mind has an idea of what Regina is. Mind has an experience of Regina. So it's not really the skin that's the border. It's the mind. You know, in time we have what we call before Christ and after Christ, right? You know, you have things that happened in 50 BCE, before Christ, and then you have things that happened in 70 AD, you know, which is after Christ, right? But when it comes to looking at truth, what we really have is before mind and after mind. Everything after mind is not real. And there's an easy, easy way to see if it's after mind. If it's after mind, mind has a definition, an understanding, or an experience of it, or all three. If mind can define it, understand it, or experience it, it's after mind, therefore it's illusory. It's not true. The next question comes, what is present that cannot be defined, understood, or experienced by mind? Now the interesting thing about this question is that mind can't answer the question. One of the things that happens when we study on the spiritual path is we study spiritual concepts that are meant to point us to truth. For example, a lovely idea that came about through studying spiritual things like A Course in Miracles and NTI, a wonderful idea that came was, you know, I am not a body, I am spirit. I am spirit. But what happens is mind, you know, mind gets some kind of an idea of what spirit is. It's even possible that my idea of what the word spirit means and your idea of what the spirit means isn't even exactly the same. Mind develops a concept of spirit. The word. And so if we ask the question, what am I? And we quickly answer, I am spirit, or I am the Son of God, or I am oneness. If there's any inkling of understanding, mental understanding of what that means, that's just a mind answer. Because mind only understands what comes after it, which is illusory, and all concepts are illusory. So when we ask the question, what is present that cannot be defined, understood, or experienced by mind, it means mind can't answer the question. And yet, even though mind can't answer the question, there could be this intuitive realization, it might even just be a momentary glimmer, this intuitive realization that somehow is an answer, but it can't really adequately be put into words. It can't really adequately be shared, or we can't adequately describe it to someone else. Because if we can adequately define it, describe it, then it's just a mind concept. Mind can't have any ideas about truth. And any ideas that mind would have about truth are simply illusory concepts. Number 349 continues, that which can be defined, understood, or experienced by mind is of mind, or the same as mind, which means illusory, not true. That which cannot be defined, understood, or experienced by mind is before mind. That which is before mind can be called source or truth, and it is present being. And of course, because these are words, these are pointers. But it's not a small realization to realize that anything that mind can define, anything that mind can talk about, anything that mind can experience is not truth. Anything. You know, we talk about on the spiritual path, we talk about ideas like reincarnation. Some people may even have memories of previous lifetimes. But this is all something that the mind can understand. A memory is something that the mind can experience. That means, ultimately, it's not truth. It's still within the circle of illusion. So again, this self-inquiry, it's no longer scary to me. But you can kind of see why when NTI was being written, when the inquiry was taking me back to before mind, a panic hit. It was taking me into what cannot be defined, understood, or experienced by mind when I was still fully identified with mind as who I am. And being identified fully with mind when something is trying to pull me into before mind, that's like, that's like death or void. Either word would do. It's something that cannot be, not only cannot be defined and cannot be understood, it can't be experienced. It's a frightening thought until readiness occurs. Why don't we go ahead and move on to number 350? If you're in number 349 with me, what you can do is just scroll down underneath the comment and reply area. You'll see a little 350. You just click on that, and that will take you directly to 350. If you're not with me, what I can do is post a link to number 350 in the room. And those of you who want to read along can go ahead and just click on that newest link. First, I will read quote number 350 from the Seven Steps to Awakening. And again, this is actually quoting another book called The Supreme Yoga. And this is the quote. The enlightened one knows that there is only one reality, the infinite consciousness. And again, the words here, infinite consciousness, are just being used to refer to before mind. The enlightened one knows that there is only one reality, the infinite consciousness. All right, let's look at number 350 in the journal. If it can be defined, understood, or experienced by mind, it is of mind, and it is not truth. Like a doorway, before mind is truth. After mind is illusion. The one who knows reality lives before mind. The filter of mind does not affect him. So the word that's being used by the Supreme Yoga is infinite consciousness, but the word that's being used here is before mind. And what this is really saying is do not try with the mind to understand it. Do not try with the mind to grasp it. Because if you can understand it or grasp it with the mind, that's not it. It kind of reminds me of, I think it's the Tao that says something like, those who talk about it do not know it. Those who know it do not talk about it. It doesn't mean that teaching doesn't happen, because of course Lao Tzu was a teacher. But what it really means is, those who think they know what truth is and are talking about truth as if they think they know it, they don't know it, because the mind, the thinker, can't know it. And those who know it know they can't talk about it. They know it's not something that they can impart with words, that they can describe. It's before mind. So when we start getting ideas, if we get ideas about what enlightenment is, if we have ideas about how we'll feel in enlightenment, how we'll see in enlightenment, what the world will look like when we're enlightened, that's all not true. Just the fact that we can understand the idea proves it's not true. If mind can comprehend it, it's not true. If it can be defined, understood, or experienced by mind, it is of mind and it is not truth. Like a doorway, before mind is truth, after mind is illusion. The one who knows reality lives before mind. The filter of mind does not affect him. All right, that's about all there is to say about that one. So why don't we scroll on down underneath the comment and reply area and click on number 351. We will just move right along because some things you can't talk about too much, and that's okay. The Tao that can be spoken is not the Tao. There we go. Stephen is a better quoter than me. That's exactly what I was thinking about. The Tao that can be spoken is not the Tao. Yeah, that's the point here. Same point. All right, so number 351, again, quoting the Supreme Yoga. This world is nothing but pure hallucination. This world is nothing but pure hallucination. Number 351 in the journal. Once the doorway of mind is entered, everything that is experienced is illusory. I takes on an illusory self that is not real. That self perceives and thinks illusory fantasy. Self-experience is the reflection of illusory fantasy believed. Everything is a world of appearance. Fantasy, unreal, perceived and experienced by a made-up character, not true. Now this is a thought that if it's looked at too deeply, it blows the mind. The mind believes in aftermind. But what this is saying is that everything after mind is like a house of fantasy. In fact, you know, in my mind, when imagining occurs as a part of reading this, it's almost like there's outside of mind, there's this nothingness. There has to be nothingness there because mind couldn't understand what's outside of mind. So it has to be nothingness. It has to appear as nothingness to mind. So outside of mind, there's nothingness. And then you kind of walk up to this doorway and you open the door and you step inside of mind. And then once you step inside of mind, there's this cartoonish fantasy world. But inside of mind, everything in that cartoonish fantasy world is believed in. Last night, in the NTI question and answer, one of the questions we looked at is, what are points of experience? Points of experience is a symbol that is used in NTI 1 Corinthians. NTI 1 Corinthians is teaching us to become the empty shell, or to let go of all thoughts, to become completely empty. And it explains to us that points of experience are ideas that we have, thoughts that we have, that cause us to have experience, and because of the experience, we then believe the ideas. So like a great example is if I have the thought, I hate so-and-so. I just really hate this person. Or maybe I don't even have to say hate. Maybe I just annoyed that every time this person comes around, I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed by this person. You know, or maybe I'm annoyed by a certain type of person. I don't like loud people. I'm really annoyed whenever I'm around anyone who's got a very loud voice. That thought is a point of experience. Because if I have that thought and I believe that thought, then when somebody loud shows up, I have the emotional feeling of being annoyed. And that emotional feeling proves to me that the thought is true. Another perfect example is if we do something. Let's say we're over at somebody's house for dinner and they have this crystal butter dish that they happen to explain as they put it down on the table that actually this belonged to their great-grandmother. She received it as a wedding gift on her wedding, and she passed it down to her grandmother, who passed it down to her mother. And when her mother died recently, she inherited this crystal butter dish. And after dinner, we decide to help clean up. We're being a good guest, and we help clean up. And we pick up the butter dish, which happens to be a little bit slippery. Someone got some butter on the outside, and we drop it, and it shatters into, you know, it shatters into just a million pieces. Like, there's no way this thing's going to be glued back together. And this guilt, oh my God, this guilt just rises up. holy shit, we broke the crystal butter dish that was at the great-grandmother's wedding and has been passed down since then. And when this feeling of guilt rises up, we then believe we are guilty. Because of the feeling, we believe we're guilty. It makes it seem real. But what number 351 is saying is everything inside that door is not real. That feeling of guilt is not real, right? That feeling of being annoyed by someone is not real. An unreal feeling cannot make something real. The thought that the butter dish was special was not real. The butter dish is not real. The great-grandmother is not real. There is nothing inside that doorway that's real. But because we believe in it and because we experience it, we continue to think it's real. So we really are like cartoon characters living in a cartoon, not realizing that it's all just, you know, cartoon. Again, the Supreme Yoga said, this world is nothing but pure hallucination, the entire thing. There's not a shred of truth in it. The journal entry says, once the doorway of mind is entered, everything that is experienced is illusory. Everything. I takes on an illusory self that is not real. That self perceives and thinks illusory fantasy. Self-experience is the reflection of illusory fantasy believed. Everything is a world of appearance, fantasy, unreal, perceived, and experienced by a made-up character, not true. Everything within the doorway, everything after mind is false. The only thing that is real is before mind or outside the doorway. And mind can't define that. Mind can't understand that. And mind can't experience that. Therefore, to mind, it's nothing. It's isn'tness. Isn'tness. Right? To mind, it's isn'tness. Which is what makes it seem scary when we're attached to mind. Inside mind, we seem to have something. Inside mind, we seem to have isness. Outside of mind is isn'tness. But what these spiritual teachings are telling us is that the exact opposite is true. Outside of mind, that's where you realize what isness is. Inside of mind, it's just a hallucination. It's just a fantasy. So it's completely backwards from what we believe when we're identified with mind. Let's go ahead and scroll down underneath number 351 and click on number 352. And again, I'll put a link in the room for those of you who have recently joined us and would like to click on the link. Number 352 in the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening, again quoting another book, The Supreme Yoga, says, the mind veils the real nature of the self and creates an illusory appearance with many branches, flowers, and fruits. Destroy this illusion by wisdom and rest in peace. Again, the mind veils the real nature of the self and creates an illusory appearance with many branches, flowers, and fruits. Destroy this illusion by wisdom and rest in peace. All right, let's look at number 352 in the journal. Inside the illusory house of mind, fantasy rules through senses, experience, and memory believed. And yet, the house of mind itself is illusory, non-existent, One need not struggle to find the door he entered in order to exit. One merely needs to let go of fantasy. Let go of interest, value, and belief. When fantasy is released, the house itself shall disappear. So this is interesting. I mean, this is really an interesting concept. if we go back to my imaginary, scenario where outside of mind, it's before mind, and so to the mind, it's isn'tness, right? Before mind doesn't exist, isn'tness, because mind just can't understand it, define it, experience it. So to mind, it does not exist. But we enter this door of mind. We come from outside that mind because we enter the door of mind from somewhere. And we come into the mind, and then we're totally caught up in this fantasy of mind, and we totally believe we're this false character, and we believe all our experiences, and we have memories of experiences, and, if I accidentally hit myself in the finger with this little bitty magnifying glass, I feel pain. If I drop somebody's, crystal butter dish that's been passed down since their great-grandmother, I feel guilt or embarrassment, right? I have all of these experiences to prove that this is real, okay? But then somehow what creeps in from God knows where, and we call it Holy Spirit, what creeps in is this idea that somehow I know is true, although I can't explain it, This idea that none of this is real. Somehow, this idea creeps into my mind that everything I'm experiencing, everything I'm interacting with, everything I appear to enjoy, and everything I appear to suffer because of is equally unreal. And that real joy, which I've even forgotten what the heck real joy is, because the joy that I experience here is a pale reflection of it. Real joy comes from waking up from this fantasy. And then I'm told, the way you wake up from the fantasy is to let go of interest, value, and belief in the fantasy right now, even as you're continuing to experience it. Even though you still seem to be a cartoon character in a cartoon world, and even though there still seems to be problems that really need to be solved, that fantasy is just going to continue unless you start to lose interest in it right now. And if you start to lose interest in it, what happens is it just starts to crumble and fall apart all around you. You don't have to do anything. It will fall apart on its own just by you losing interest. And you reawaken to that before mind. Well, that's what we're being told. That's what we're being told. That even though we're in the world, the words Jesus used, in the world, we need to not be of the world. We need to lose interest in it, even while we seem to be in it. And if we begin to lose interest in it, even while we're seemingly in it, well, it's generated by mind. It's generated by interest, by value, by belief. So if we begin to lose interest in it, then the generation process begins to break down. And if the generation process breaks down, eventually the fantasy just has to end. And then we can wake up to that which is our truth, but that which we can't even begin to imagine or comprehend while we're still operating from mind. So it's interesting because it means that we kind of know what we need to do, and yet we can't really understand why we're doing it, except that something in us, something that's got to be before mind, something in us knows that this is true, that this is right, that this is the way out. Intuitiveness is the only word that I could put to it. Because it's certainly not mind, because mind is saying, you know, when the next thing shows up, mind is saying, hey, be real interested in this. Get really involved in this. Spend a lot of time thinking about this. Look at this from all angles. That's what mind is saying. So this feeling that it's best to do nothing, to step back, to be unconcerned, that's not coming from mind. And yet something in us knows that that's really what we need to be listening to. But we need to not be afraid of what mind is calling the isn'tness. If we still believe this world is isness, if we still believe that this personality body that I appear to be is isness, then we're going to be way too afraid to do nothing, to lose interest, value, and belief. Because we're going to have to be involved in the world. If this is isness, and outside of mind is isn'tness, then it's scary and even stupid to do nothing. Somehow we have to find a trust, even though we don't have understanding. A trust in that intuitiveness that is telling us that none of that is true, everything after mind is false, that it's the before mind that is our reality. And we have to be willing to kind of go for it, even though we can't understand it, can't imagine it, can't fathom it. And this tells us how. Start losing interest, value, and belief in everything inside this fantasy. And we even know exactly how to tell if it's fantasy. If mind can understand it, if mind can define it, if mind can experience it, it's fantasy. Which pretty much means everything, doesn't it? Everything that we think we live with and among. Everything that we think that we are. Let's scroll on down and we'll click on number 352. Oh, sorry, click on number 353. Did I say 352? I don't know what I said. 353 is what I meant to say. It's interesting because I am looking back at 352 from the Supreme Yoga, and the last sentence in the quote was, "Destroy this illusion by wisdom and rest in peace." Destroy this illusion by wisdom. That would be the wisdom, the intuitive acceptance of the intuitive knowing that everything that is experienced is not real, and the wisdom to stop reacting to it as if it is. That's the wisdom that allows us to rest in peace, rest, not be involved, rest in peace, trust, and allow the illusion to just kind of fall apart, disappear, because no power is being given to it. No more interest, value, and belief. Number 353 says, "The seed of this world appearance is ignorance." The seed of this world appearance is ignorance. And again, ignorance would be the mind in anything after mind. Because it's all not true and we believe it's true. I mean, that's ignorance. Ignorance says that isness is isn'tness and isn'tness is isness. That's ignorance. So the seed of this world appearance is ignorance, believing that the false is true and the true is non-existent. Let's read number 353 in the journal. "Giving meaning precedent to illusory fantasy through interest, value, and belief is delusional ignorance." So if I have the thought that I really don't like loud people, and then someone comes into my house that's just loud, and I start getting annoyed, that's all ignorance. Because I'm totally believing this false thought that I don't like loud people. That's a fantasy. I'm believing that I'm this cartoon character, this person. That's a fantasy. And then I'm believing this other cartoon character came into my cartoon house and was cartoonly loud. And I fell for the whole thing and got annoyed. That's ignorance. It's actually, if you start looking at it, if you can look at it without judgment, it's really important to look at things without judgment. But if you start being able to really watch without judgment, it's friggin' amazing how ignorant we are. And by that I mean how much we keep falling for this world experience and this body experience and this personality experience as if it's true and it matters. And that's what ignorance is. It's falling for this world experience, this body experience, and this personality experience as if it is true and matters. And every time we do that, we're exercising ignorance. So it's pretty amazing how ignorant we are. But no matter how ignorant we are, wisdom is not dead. That's another amazing fact. No matter how ignorant we are, wisdom is not dead. Because wisdom represents truth, and truth isn't dead. And so when that first little light of wisdom, that first bit of clarity begins to pop in through our blanket of ignorance, if we just listen to that first little bit of wisdom, what happens is the wisdom begins to wash away the ignorance. And the more we listen to the wisdom, the more the ignorance is washed away. So the real trick is to learn to listen to the wisdom and not the ignorance. And so when something seems to come up, like a loud person shows up in our house and we start feeling annoyance, and the wisdom starts coming in and letting us know that the only reason we feel annoyance is because we believed the thought that we don't like loud people. And that if we could just begin to see that thought is meaningless, this annoyance would go away. Because the annoyance isn't real. The annoyance is only the effect of believing the thought. It's a fantasy. And if we trust that and we start saying, okay, so I'm willing to see that it's not true that I'm annoyed by loud people. I'm willing to see that is just an idea I've believed. And we really, you know, put a little bit of heart focus in that. What we learn is that it's true. We can be around loud, the appearance of loud people, without any feeling of annoyance at all, that the only reason that was happening is because we were believing an idea. And again, that may just be a little thing, but at the same time, it's not a little thing, because that's the beginning of realizing, you know what? Wisdom understands this is all made up. It just proved to me that I made up the idea that I don't like loud people. And when I saw that and was willing to let go of that idea, it's true, I don't have any problems with loud people anymore. Well, what else have I made up? What else is not true? That's the little bit of willingness, the little crack that wisdom needs. And then if we just start going more with wisdom, listening to wisdom more and more and more, more and more of this fantasy starts to get washed away. Bits and pieces of the fantasy, things that seemed true for us, start to fall down, start to disappear. And if we just keep following that wisdom, it leads us completely out of the ignorance, which was the belief that the fantasy was true. Our only job is really to just keep following and trusting the wisdom. And if wisdom asks us to start losing interest in different things, you know, like like this problem that has arisen, you know, don't worry about that problem. Just trust that the universe has a way of working it out. Take your hands off and just watch. We take our hands off and we watch. And again, we start learning, wow, it's true. I didn't need to do anything. It's true. I don't need to be as involved in this world as I thought. And just, you know, for most of us, it seems to be little by little, we just back off more and more and more from involvement in the world, and we rest more and more and more with wisdom. And somehow the power is taken out of the illusion, which leads to the point when the ignorance can completely disappear and the truth is realized. But what seems to be the hard part, at least in the beginning, what seems to be the hard part is taking away the meaning or the precedent that we give to the world because we actually still believe the fantasy is true. It's hard to take your hands off of a problem and allow it to just work itself out if you really believe that you're this person and that this world is real and that this problem has to be worked out a certain way or else in some way you're going to suffer. But when we're thinking that way, we're listening to ignorance. And obviously, you can't experience what wisdom has to teach you if you continually listen to ignorance. So at some point, we have to trust. And again, this is not anything that mind can understand, so you're not really going to get mind to back you up in this. Mind is not going to tell you to trust. Mind's going to say, you know, you're a crazy-ass fool for listening to this thought that you shouldn't do anything here. But somehow we have to make that turnaround anyway. If we never make that turnaround, we never see what wisdom has to show us. So giving meaning precedent to illusory fantasy through interest, value, and belief is delusional ignorance. So wisdom is the opposite of that. Wisdom is not giving meaning precedent to fantasy. Wisdom is not being interested in fantasy, not valuing fantasy, not believing fantasy. It's a backing off position. And it's only, it's 2 minutes till the top of the hour, which definitely means I do not have time to really effectively begin number 354. So I will begin 3:54 tomorrow at, 1:30 Eastern Time. What I'll do now is just play just about a minute or so of a Scott Kalickstein Grace song. I'm looking here at number 3 on the CD that I have in already. It's called Closer and Closer. So let me just play Closer and Closer for a little bit till the top of the hour. And then I'll just stop it. And, like the mic. Yeah, here we go.